This is From Fear to Fabulous with Natalie Eve Marquis, Episode 6.
Welcome to From Fear to Fabulous, the podcast that helps you transform fear, heal emotional wounds, gain absolute clarity, and live a fabulous life. Now here's your host, master intuitive healer, coach, and teacher, Natalie Eve Marquis.
I want to talk about what it means to follow your bliss, because you know what? Most of us have got it all wrong. But first I'll share a quick story, and then we'll dive into the details of what I think it means to really follow your bliss. My pal Tennessee and I recently hiked Bell Trail in Rimrock, Arizona. It's a beautiful 7-mile round-trip, well-traveled trail that leads to a magically clear pool of water at the heart of Wet Beaver Canyon. The sun pours into a small cove-like area that is protected by red rock canyon walls and sycamore and juniper trees. The sienna colors of the canyon walls, the leafy greens from the trees, and the clear Arizona blue sky are mesmerizingly reflected in the pool waters. Most who trek this path are understandably focused on getting to the pool of water that is a delight to the eyes while also being deep enough to dive and swim in. However, for Tennessee and I, we find the many side trails leading down to the creek to be equally magical. We found groves of blackberry and trumpet and datura flowers, shady glens of mystical tree formations, and red rock respites rising out of the creek like a clan of turtlebacks. The birds, butterflies, and dragonflies were more plentiful down by the creek as well. With each discovery, I felt my shoulders relaxing and my heart expanding. The hike with its well-worn primary path, as well as the many less traveled side paths, was a delight for the senses and the soul. Many of us search earnestly for our path as if our soul has only one path and one purpose. Just as I delighted in both the main trail and all the magical side trails on my hike, we are free, encouraged even to explore all the paths that light us up and bring us joy. For example, my soul came here to teach, create, communicate, and to experience and share joy. How do I know this? Because these are all the things I absolutely love to do. I do them whether I'm paid for them or not. I do them because I'm fascinated with learning about them, understanding them, and experiencing them. They are all things I'm passionate about and that light me up to do them. For some of us, though, we've lost track of what truly brings us joy. When this has happened to me, it's because I started looking for the answers outside of myself, or I started comparing myself to others. I thought there was a right way and a wrong way, but I didn't know what that was. We're not alone in thinking like this. In the book Dying to Be Me by Anita Morjani, she writes, "I discovered that when my life seems directionless and I feel lost, what it really means is that I've lost my sense of self. I'm not connected with who I truly am and what I've come here to be. This has tended to happen when I stop listening to my own internal voice and give my power away to external sources such as TV commercials, newspapers, big drug companies, my peers, cultural and societal beliefs, and the like." End quote. She said what she ultimately learned from her near-death experience was that she didn't need to struggle so hard to figure out her life purpose and path. She says, "I now know that everything I need is already contained within me and is completely accessible if I allow myself to open up to what I sense is true for me. And the same is true for you." End quote. So how do we open ourselves up to what's true for us? This isn't always easy because many of us shoot down what our heart truly desires because we tell ourselves that what we're drawn to isn't big enough or important enough. We mistakenly think our life purpose or path has to be something grand, like saving the children or the whales or growing a multi-million-dollar business or something like that. Or that following our bliss guarantees us fame or fortune. The soul doesn't care about grand gestures or fame or fortune. All it wants is to experience life to the fullest, to love fiercely and fully, and for us to be the biggest expression of ourselves that we can be. When we do this, we impact all those around us and all those who come into contact with us in the most beautiful way. And that vibration of love and joy ripples out into the world. Anita writes, "The only thing you need to learn is that you already are what you're seeking to attain. Just express your uniqueness fearlessly with abandon. That's why you're made the way you are, and that's why you're here in the physical world." End quote. I believe following our bliss is our life purpose, and that there are many paths we can take to fulfill that purpose. So going back to my own example of teaching and creating, to fulfill my desire to teach, I could explore many paths. I could teach elementary school children, I could become a professor and teach at the college level, or I could teach adults through workshops and retreats. I could teach one-on-one as a life coach, counselor, trainer, or mentor. I could be a paid instructor or a volunteer. I can also teach via books and blogs and videos. And I could teach on any subject that lights me up, such as writing, art making, design, marketing, creativity, intuition, or spirituality. And if I shift my focus to my creative calling, I could express that in a dozen different ways as well, such as being a painter, a writer, inventor, designer, crafter, musician, dancer, and so on. Or it could simply be how I live my life. And it's completely possible that two paths can merge. They don't have to, but they can. It's quite possible that both my creative calling and my teaching calling can come together to serve myself and the world. I could be an art teacher, or I could just use my creativity as a teacher in how I design and present lessons and courses. There are so many ways our calling can be expressed in the world. We each have dozens of paths to choose from, but how do we know which one is or which ones are right for us? When Joseph Campbell wrote, "Follow your bliss," its permissiveness filled us with hope, yet it also caused some of us pain and confusion. And this is because we mistakenly thought it meant, I only get one bliss, or there's only one path to bliss, or that our work and our career must be our primary source of bliss. Or, if I'm following my bliss, I'll be happy all the time. These are myths, and none of them are true. In my experience, following your bliss is less about finding a path and more about exploring all the paths that light you up. We go off track in following our bliss when we treat it as an end result rather than a navigational tool. In my work as an intuitive reader, I can tell you that a frequently reoccurring message from our angels and spirit guides is that they're nudging us to do more of what brings us joy. On a metaphysical level, this makes sense. According to David Hawkins' map of consciousness in the book Power vs. Force, joy vibrates at twice the frequency of feeling neutral. Joy vibrates at 540, whereas feelings of neutrality vibrate at 250. 540 versus 250, that's quite a difference. And when it comes to feeling joy versus apathy, joy is 10 times more powerful. Joy vibrates at 540, while apathy vibrates at a measly 50. Let me interject here that while I'm encouraging us all to follow our bliss, I am not advocating a hedonistic lifestyle of pursuing pleasure for pleasure's sake. Quite the contrary. Pleasure seeking is often an attempt to fill a sense of emptiness. We overspend, overeat, maybe drink too much or party too much, and still we feel empty. Pleasure seeking activities distract, while joy-filled activities bring us deliciously into the present. When we do things that bring us joy, it fills us up and is deeply satisfying. In a blog article about following your bliss, Valen Dawson says, quote, "You also start feeling fully the true pleasure of things because you aren't using pleasures to medicate yourself," end quote. I'm often asked, I have so many options. How do I know which path is the best one to take? The answer truly is simple. Pick the one that lights you up the most. Using joy as a navigational tool is meant to guide us with big decisions such as which career to pursue or which state to live in, as well as for tackling our day-to-day activities. But it doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing thing. If we allow ourselves to work on the things we enjoy for at least part of the day, then it's easier to tackle the less appealing things later on, such as cleaning the house or doing the bookkeeping or that one project that just is difficult for you, or even folding the laundry. For those of us that are growing businesses, we often get stymied by all the advice we see online. We're told we have to do social media, create funnels, and grow our email list. And this is just the marketing advice. There's also other advice about how to manage our finances and distribute our products. All of the incoming advice can be overwhelming. To get yourself back in alignment with your soul's highest good, shut out all the shoulds for a little while. Then pick one of the things on your to-do list that you would enjoy working on the most and do that. When that one is done or when you're ready to tackle another, pick the next enjoyable project and so on. Or if you're a person who regularly avoids the work you don't enjoy, then consider using the pleasurable projects as a reward. For example, I sometimes promise myself that once my bookkeeping is done, then I can work on one of my creative projects. Or if I finish filling out all the boring paperwork to update my liability insurance, then I can work on writing a new blog article, which is fun for me. We can create and live a life that is deeply fulfilling by following the stepping stones of joy. Of course, following our joy won't eliminate life's challenges and hardships. Yet when we incorporate doses of joy throughout our day, it can soften the edges of those experiences. It also doesn't mean that we'll never feel afraid or worried again. If we are truly following our passions and our bliss, it's going to entail stretching our comfort zone. I saved this quote a while back, and it says, "The journey will be messy and scary. Following our bliss instigates the hero's journey and is meant to stretch our comfort zone and bring out our inner hero, which is typically done through tests and trials meant to hone our character and ability to live our bliss," end quote. The late Neville Goddard, an influential spiritual author and lecturer, went one step further in his teachings when he said, "Desires are words of promise or prophecies that contain within themselves the plan and the power of expression." Oh my God, I love that. Desires are words of promise or prophecies that contain within themselves the plan and the power of expression. In other words, desire is a seed, and the seed contains within itself the blueprint or plan for exactly how that seed is meant to express itself in the world. An acorn becomes a majestic oak tree, a pumpkin seed becomes a fat, juicy pumpkin, and a sunflower seed grows into a beautiful sunflower. This means that we don't have to worry so much about how to follow our bliss. It's all inside us already. We just need to keep following the stepping stones of joy and desire, and our unique plan and expression will organically unfold before us. I also believe that our heartfelt desires are like magnets pulling us in the direction of our soul's purpose. The seed that you sprang from contained the blueprint and plan of all that you're meant to be in this world. Your heartfelt desires and passions are magnetic forces meant to help you stay on track so you can realize the full potential of your unique blueprint. Source energy is all about expansion, and since we're part of source energy, we are meant to grow and expand. And this isn't always comfortable for us. It requires us to face our fears and to stretch our comfort zones. I believe this is another reason why such heartfelt desires and callings were planted in our hearts. All the juicy, joyful feelings we get from following and living our bliss ultimately outweigh the discomforts and challenges we'll face along the way as we grow. From a vibrational standpoint, we also need regular daily doses of joy to counteract our biological tendency towards negative bias. Human biology was built to detect problems in our environment to keep us safe, so we could spot the tiger in the woods and run to safety. While humanity has evolved and most of us now live in relative safety, our biology hasn't quite caught up. We're still constantly looking for what's wrong in our lives. It's far easier for us to name all the things that aren't working for us, like the annoying boss at work, the gossipy coworker, too many bills, not enough pretty shoes, too much work, not enough play. This propensity to notice what's wrong, along with the accompanying negative thoughts and feelings, can really drag us down. This is why practices like daily gratitude, which vibrates at a frequency of 500, and following our bliss are so important. Valen Dawson also wrote, When you start radiating bliss, something incredible will start to happen. Bliss is a frequency. Our bodies actually respond to bliss on a cellular level. Have you noticed that certain elderly people look nothing like their age? Have you noticed that these certain people are also living a blissful life? They have chosen to be happy, and it shows up in the cells of their body. Have you noticed the extra energy that you have when you're following your bliss? It seems like you don't get tired or even hungry. You don't want to stop what you're doing. This is our body responding at a chemical level to bliss. End quote. Following our bliss matters. I believe it affects us on a cellular level because it was programmed into us on a cellular level, not only so we could experience our greatest joy, but also to ensure that we'd allow and follow our unique purpose and path. With this in mind, I'd like to share 10 tips for following your bliss. Number 1, do daily joy. Do at least one thing every day that brings you joy. This could be as simple as putting on some fun music and dancing around the kitchen. I don't know about you, but nothing gets me boogieing across the kitchen floor like Meghan Trainor's All About That Bass. Number 2, follow the joy. If you're struggling about which path to take or which project to start, or even about what to do today, choose the thing that lights you up the most. Number 3, create a joy list. Make a list of all the things that bring you joy and make you smile. Try to make this list as extensive as possible. Shoot for 100 things. Then keep it somewhere handy so when you're having one of those days where you feel so tired and depleted you can't even remember what brings you joy, you can refer to your list and do one of those things. One of those things could be as simple as having a cup of tea outside in the sunshine, or spending some time in your garden, doodling, or mindfully patting your cat or dog. Do one of your joy things, even if you don't feel like it. Quite often, once you start doing that joy-filled thing, even if it's just for 10 minutes, your feelings will shift from being depleted to delighted. Number 4, collect joyful images. I create joyful images in two ways. The first way is that I created a board on Pinterest called Joy, and I filled it with all sorts of images of kids laughing, of beautiful landscapes, of magical fairies in nature, birds, gardens, and more. Fill it with whatever makes you smile and feel uplifted when you look at it. Then the next time you're feeling down or discouraged, simply look through each of these images, and it will lift your spirits. The other way, sort of a more hands-on process I use, is to collect joyful images in an art journal. I collect images that make me smile or that are beautiful from magazines or from Google image searches. I cut them out and I creatively paste them in my art journal. For me, the process is relaxing and pleasurable, and it helps lift my spirits. Number 5, look for the good. To offset the negative bias, spend a little time every day contemplating what is right and good in your life. This is a little different from gratitudes. Looking for the good is simply that. Just notice what is good or pleasing to the eye in your environment. For example, you might notice the dappling light on the leaves of a tree, the pretty pink flowers in your neighbor's yard, how peaceful your home is. Or a favorite of mine, and I know it's going to sound silly, but indoor plumbing. I know it sounds really odd, but I really appreciate being able to go to the bathroom and take a warm or hot bath anytime I like. So affirm the good in your life. Number 6, practice joy spotting. I believe this word was coined by Ingrid Fattel-Lee, the author of Joyful, The Surprising Power of Ordinary Things to Create Extraordinary Happiness. I highly recommend downloading and working with her free joy spotting guide, and I'll include a link in the show notes. It will help you start noticing things that delight you as you go about your day. And when you notice something that really lights me up, I like to say to the universe, "Yes, more of that, please, and thank you." Number 7, practice gratitude. Create a daily gratitude practice. Start up a gratitude journal, or if you already keep a journal, make a commitment to record at least 3 to 5 things that you're grateful for every day. Or you might start a new family tradition by inviting everyone to share one or more things they're grateful for at the dinner table. If you want something less formal, then simply ponder three things that you're grateful for as you drift off to sleep at night. Start a joy journal. A joy journal is a record of the bits of joy that you experience as you go about your day. It's a record of both the small joys as well as the bigger, more momentous joys. Two of the main benefits of keeping a joy journal is that it activates your brain's reticular activating system and trains your brain to focus on and notice more joy. The other benefit is that when you're feeling discouraged or down, you can open your joy journal and reconnect and experience both the little and big things that brought you joy. Each time you read your joy journal, it will fill you up with joy all over again. Number 9, affirmations. Affirmations are like mental vitamins. A daily dose feeds our brain with positive fuel, and it helps offset that negative bias I talked about earlier, and it can inspire us to live the life we're dreaming of. Affirmations should be stated in the present tense, as if what you want to feel and experience has already happened and is already yours. I find the affirmation in Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life, particularly helpful. I've collected several of hers that resonate, and I also write a lot of my own. I write them down, and then I record them with my iPhone voice recorder and listen to them in the morning when I walk my dog, wash the dishes, or drive to work. Number 10, create joy. If that joyful experience you want doesn't already exist, then create one. For example, many years ago, I wanted to bring our friends together on a regular basis, but hosting big parties wasn't my favorite way to connect. Instead, I initiated a couples card night. So once a month, about 10 of us gathered together to play cards and socialize. We'd swap houses sometimes, too. We'd play hearts or pinochle. What was the other one? Oh, hell. I don't know. We had a whole variety of games that, you know, were conducive to having 10 people playing. But it wasn't so much what we were playing as the fun we were having as we were all together. Many years later, when I was venturing into art licensing, I felt isolated and alone working at home all the time by myself. And so I got the idea to create the Art Licensing Group of New Hampshire. I simply wrote a press release and put it in the local papers and invited people to join me if they were interested in art licensing and wanted to learn more about it. About 10 people, no, maybe it was 12, 10, anyway, 10 or 12 people joined, and it was just fabulous. There was all kinds of women with all different kinds of interest in art and art licensing, and we learned a lot together and really supported and motivated each other. So if you don't see what's out there in your environment, if that joy-filled thing doesn't exist, go out there and make one. Following your bliss is a powerful navigational tool that can guide you to fulfilling your soul's purpose and living your best life. That heartfelt tug you feel inside to follow your bliss? Remember, within you is the seed that contains both the plan and the power of expression. You came into the world with your own divine blueprint. Keep following your bliss and the stepping stones of joy, and you will grow into all that you were meant to be. So here are some questions to ponder from today's episode. What is your bliss, and what lights you up? When was the last time you did something that you really enjoy? And what is one thing you can do today that just lights you up? I'd love to know your answers. Please share your thoughts or questions on the podcast episode page at nataliemarquis.com. And remember to visit the show notes for all the links and downloads. There's going to be a link to the free joy spotting guide and a link to 10 tips for following your bliss. So that's it for today. So I hope as you go about your day that you choose to do at least one thing that really lights you up and helps you follow your bliss today. Have a fabulous day.
Thank you for listening to the From Fear to Fabulous podcast. It would be so fabulous if you would take a moment to subscribe and write a quick review about us on iTunes. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to cover, then please visit us at nataliemarquis.com.